Hello and welcome to Two Blokes Trading. Join us, the two blokes, Philip and Petter, as we dive deep into the complex world of financial markets and home trading. Today's episode is sponsored by BizIntra Financial Academy. BizIntra offers sponsored trading programs that have been developed by professional traders. Don't pay a fortune to learn how to trade. Simply sign up by using one of their partner brokers and receive trading education and signals by institutional traders. Make sure you log on to www.bizintra.com/two blokes for everything related to the markets. You won't be disappointed. Good afternoon or evening, everybody, wherever you are in the world. This is Philip, and I'm here with P-Man. Petter, say hello.
Hi, everyone.
Okay, and welcome to Two Blokes Trading. So that was my attempt at doing some sort of an intro. I don't care if you like it or not.
I was just so generic, Phil. I think we should do it again.
No, we're going with it. That's it.
Do it over. You should do the one that... Did you ever see that TV show called Nighthawk?
No.
Oh my God, that was a deadly series. You always ended and opened his episodes with the same way.
Really?
So, yeah, go YouTube it afterwards. Maybe you'll learn a thing or two as being a podcast host.
Next week, I'll do the intro as the Joe Rogan one. Not the Hello Freak Traders, because we've used that one before. But the one where he shouts, Joe Rogan podcast, by day, by night, all day. Isn't that what it is?
You'll do nothing. You'll do fucking nothing.
Do I sound like that?
Sometimes. I mean, when your head spins off and you go on a bit of a rant, and yeah, sometimes.
Oh well. Anyway,
but you definitely don't sound like a traveler, Phil.
No, this is how words sound when they're pronounced properly.
Cool.
For any of the traveling community who are listening to this, that's not a joke. With it. Can you imagine?
Traveling.
They wouldn't be listening to financial podcasts.
Traveling trader.
Oh my God, this is going to get blocked.
You should probably buy that domain, you know? Travelingtrader.com.
Traveling trader, travelertrader.com. Oh my God. Can you imagine? Anyways, what's been going on with you? How are things?
Well, things are good, except a couple of things. I cut my finger off.
I saw the pictures.
Jesus Christ. Yeah, at the emergency room. Yeah, I was fiddling out with my fucking charts and I was having a very, very good time and things were going smooth and I was just going to run over and cut a mango. And I tried to cut the mango as close to the rock or to the stone as possible. And before I knew it, like the fucking knife was in my bone, in my finger. So... Run. That's just a good lesson for everybody out there. If you're handling knives, don't fucking rush.
Yeah, correct.
So, yeah, my clicking finger is a bit off, but yeah, I'll manage. How about you?
Very, very busy week. A lot going on with work. Like I mentioned last week, we're coming up to the UK tax year end, so... It's very, very busy. I'm just all day long dealing with clients with large amounts of capital, trying to move things around, and financial advisors dealing on their clients' behalfs, and just very, very busy. And also, I've got college. I'm flat out in college, and I've got this assignment that I have to do, which is driving me absolutely crazy.
So. That's just one of the things that I hated when we like sort of walked our separate ways. Like I used to love us to just sitting. Looking at the charts and dabbling about what markets we could trade and stuff like that. But yeah, I guess that's the way it is.
We haven't gone our separate ways.
Oh, we're still here. True.
Yeah, like we just don't trade at 6 a.m. in the morning anymore.
Facts are facts, Will. We couldn't sit together anymore because we were just arguing about different biases.
Fucked up. Yeah, I guess.
Tell it up, well. It is.
Well, that's the truth. Anyways, so will we get started with some foreign exchange news that's going to be coming out over the next week?
Please do.
Okay, cool. Well, nothing really goes on. No, actually, just to let everybody know, at the moment it is 20:39 on the evening of the 3rd of the 2nd, so Sunday the 3rd of February 2019. So this will be put out tonight. So if anyone does listen to this, that's great. But so you know the time frame that we're going to go off. From Monday morning, nothing. No, there are obviously there is news out on Monday, but nothing that I like to you know, nothing that I think is going to really move markets, in my opinion. So it all starts off and kicks off for the week on Tuesday, the 5th of February. So 3:30 in the morning. So end of Monday night, early Tuesday morning, anyone who trades the Asian market, keep a close eye. RBA statement, rate statement, and also interest rate decision. Note, they don't consensus estimates. Don't see any change in the interest rate. Still keeping it at 1.5%. Let's see, do they change it? So keep your eyes peeled on Australian indices and also Aussie dollar. Now, if you obviously want to trade the Aussie dollar, yeah, you can, no problem. But bear in mind, if there's any rate of change that's different from consensus estimates, we're going to get some volatility based around it. But there's always going to be volatility based around it anyway. So anyway, moving on, Wednesday, 6th of February. Again, early morning, RBA Governor Philip Lowe speaks. Now, I'm really interested in the Australian market at the moment, which I won't go into detail right now. I'll get over the whole news of things first, but I will discuss it later on in this podcast about the Australian market. But this is going to be an important one to keep an eye on. So if you're in the part of the world where this is your afternoon or evening time and you can watch Philip Lowe speak, just keep a close eye on what he says about things like the housing market and things like that, because it's starting to get really interesting in Australia at the moment. Also, 9:45 at night, GMT, on Wednesday evening, we have the unemployment rate and then the rate of change of unemployment. So this should be interesting. Obviously, all eyes should be on the Australian dollar and on Australian indices. It's up to you what cross you want to take on that. You can take a look at the Aussie US. Personally, if I was going to be looking at the way of playing the currency, I think I'd probably keep a close eye on the Aussie US dollar or maybe Aussie sterling, something like that, or sterling Aussie, sorry, if I'm going to go down the currency route. And then moving on into Thursday, February the 7th, it's all about the UK on Thursday. My God, there's a whole heap of big time news coming out of the UK all at the same time, midday, 12 o'clock, Bank of England interest rate decision, Bank of England asset purchasing facility, Bank of England MPC vote unchanged, Bank of England minutes, you know, it's all coming out 12 o'clock. All eyes are going to be on the FTSE. And all eyes are going to be on European markets. All eyes are going to be on cable, sterling US. Keep a close eye on that. That's where the fun is going to be. A lot of people speculating on the markets coming into that rate decision. So keep a close eye on that. Second of all, then we have on... So yeah, sorry. Thursday, all about the UK. Just keep an eye on that from 12 o'clock onwards. Friday, February the 8th, RBA... monetary policy statement. Keep a close eye at 12:30 at night. It's going to be worth looking at. That's obviously Australia. And then Friday afternoon, all eyes should be on Canada. So anything related to Canadian dollar. You're going to see some volatility. So the net change in unemployment and the net change in employment from January. So you'll get an idea of how is Canada actually doing as a country at the moment? Is it growing or is it contracting? Are people getting laid off in their jobs? And by knowing these little things, you can take a view on maybe the future of Canada and is it going to go into recession? And how do you want to play that trade? It's up to you. But if I was going to be looking at any markets on Friday for the Canadian market, I'd probably be focused on the currency market right now. And that's all the fun and action that's going to be going on over the next week. How about that?
That's a wrap.
Yeah. And that's cool. That.
Cool. Thank you very much, Philip.
No problem. What next? Come on.
What next? Well, I thought I should start off my little pitch here with speaking about having backup plans. And you know from previous that like I freaking hate having backup plans when it comes to trading. Mm-hmm. Like I used to be a little more inclined to have them. But now, ever since taking some leaps, I've been putting them more or less on the back burner. But one thing that I like to talk about is having a backup plan when it comes to your actual trading, so the mechanics of trading. And I have to bring up a little incident that happened to us in the trading collective last week. So on Monday in Norway, we had a big power surge or a power outage. Sorry, in our old neighborhood, and it basically fried the electricity and it fried the modem or the thing that connects us to the internet. And it didn't come on for I think 3 days. So basically me and my fellow trader was running around like headless chickens on Monday and Tuesday, trying to figure out a way how to get this sorted and see if we could somehow get the power to internet back. And also, you know that my MacBook had been fried as well. So I didn't have any chance to get onto the markets. And basically, just to cut the story short, I missed out on two or three trades just because I got so hung up in trying to get this electricity and internet back on, and I didn't have a backup plan. So like the best situation that I would have had was to have some sort of backup plan. Mm. And I just have to stress this enough because I remember I read this in one of the first courses I took that he talked about this, like you need to have a backup plan. What, like if you have a power outage or if the internet goes down or if your MacBook is fried, what do you do? You know, because the markets is still there and you still have to trade the markets. Mm. And I was just kicking myself on Thursday because I was like, I'm such an idiot. Now it might not seem like that big of a deal, but when you miss out on maybe two or three trades that could have made you a month, like you're sort of you need to take some time and reflect on things like that. So
I think I know what you mean. I think I remember you reading about that before, and you were saying like having a spare dongle signed up for like a mobile broadband app if your broadband in your home suddenly crashes. So then in case of emergency, you can get online quickly and get out of positions or get into a position or something, you know? So.
Yeah. And I know this is 2019 and we should have had those things sorted out, but like, yeah, so it could happen to anybody. But I just want to stress the fact that like in your trading plan, and I'm certainly going to have that well written down now, have some sort of backup plan if something happens. Like you might forget your password to your broker, or your broker might take some temporary leave. Maybe have another set of brokers you can sort trades through, something like that. So that's just something that was a big mistake on my part. And so basically, if anybody out there experiences the same, I hope you take notice of what I'm saying and fix your shit.
Get yourself a backup plan, bitches. Anyway, enough of that. What was I going to say to you? Actually, I wanted to chat a little bit. Actually, before I do, actually, is there anything that you've been looking at in the markets? Anything that's, or anything over the past week that's kind of interested you, or any interesting charts that you want to highlight to people?
Cool. Well, like I always do on Sundays, seeing that we're doing this podcast a little bit later than usual, so I'm basically just sitting at my charts and doing my reviews for the week that has passed, and trying to get my bearings straight on the week that's coming. Mm. So, as you mentioned, the Australian FX pairs are on my mind this week that's coming, for the time being, I'm looking at Aussie Kiwi, of course, and Aussie dollar for some longer term moves. And I have a secondary list of shorter time trades that I'd like to connect with this week. That's Kiwi CAD, Kiwi dollar, and also dollar yen.
Very interesting. So
again, it's hard for people to just go look at the charts and trying to figure out what I see.
As we talk about more in this podcast, we're more leaning towards the webinar side of things.
Yeah, like how's the webinar going, Phil?
Oh, how's it going? It's in progress. It's the
The seeds have been planted. We're just waiting to get everything all set up, the correct platform to use, the correct way to contact people, all that sort of stuff. You know, like Petter and I, the two of us come from, we don't come from a background of actually doing webinars or come from a background doing podcasts. So it's really great when people turn around and say to us, you guys are doing really well. It's really, really good. And, you know, that's kind of like a nice pat on the back for us, because this isn't what we're trained in doing. It's just literally one day I got asked, would you be interested in coming onto your podcast, onto our podcast, because we find your way of trading very interesting. And I just said, yeah, fuck it. Why not? Why not? Just let's have a chat. And that's how it all started. And then, you know, the boys in BizIntra said, you know, do you have anyone really interesting? And I said, I think I know just the guy who would work. And that's how I approached P-Man. I just said to Petter, I said, look, would you be up for it? Okay, yeah, why not? Not doing anything else. Yeah. No. It's, that's, well, we're not experts at this. We're just we're just throwing ourselves out there, like, you know, having a bit of having a laugh. We enjoy doing this. So, like,
yeah. Well, for anybody out there who'd like to start up a podcast or anything that has to do and with trading, it's really good to have something that constantly draws you back to the markets. For instance, in the weekends, just to bring you back and. Yeah, it's what we do. So,
well, I noticed that I like talk an awful lot about things that are on my mind. Maybe like when you and I talk, like on a more personal note, like it's probably we don't actually talk about the markets all that often. We actually just chat about because we know each other now. Like you've been to Ireland a few times, I've been to Norway a few times now, and so our actual conversations during the day are generally about family stuff or, you know, stuff that's going on in the world. It's never like, have you seen dollar yen today? It doesn't, that kind of, we used to be like that, but we're not like that anymore. So when we get on the podcast, we kind of, our ideas start to flow and, you know, we either agree or disagree with each other. But, you know, as soon as the podcast is over, it's back to the way we were beforehand, you know, like what's going on in Norway, that sort of stuff, you know?
Yeah. So, yeah. Well, I think it's important to, just grab every opportunity that you have that that will bring more more clarity to your purpose and your goal. And definitely this podcast for me has been amazing. So, well, I'm just grateful.
Yeah, it's fun. I do have some advice, actually, I can give people who are listening into this. One of the first things that I hope you don't mind me saying this actually better, but don't worry, I'll edit it if you do. But anyway. One of the first things that Petter actually said to me when I first spoke to him was, you know, I had an issue with a product called eSignal, and Petter kind of helped me out with it. But he said to me, you know, trading can be quite lonely at times. You're on your own. And, you know, so look, I'm up the same time you are. I'm doing the same thing you're doing. So why don't we just Skype each other? So all of a sudden, having a buddy, you know, your trading buddy got me up in the mornings, you know, like when I was dedicated to full-time trading, you know, there are times when everyone goes through, you just, even if you have a day off from work and you're lying in bed and, you know, you should really be up trading the markets at 5 or 6 a.m. in the morning, you'll set your alarm clock and you just go, I'm not getting up. Or else if you're a type of person who wants to go to the gym before work, it's very hard to get motivated. Like it's not easy. But when you have a buddy who's going to get up and do the same thing as you, kind of, you know, push each other and drive each other. So I kind of got that from it. And I think it's, if you can buddy up with someone, like they're doing it in colleges nowadays, group assignments, buddy up with a few people in the college, you know, because it helps growth in all the group. Everyone can, like, is it going to be someone who's smarter than another on a particular subject? And you can all help each other, you know? So I think it's becoming more evident now that sharing and helping each other is really a way to grow. And if you have a friend or anything like that who's involved in the markets or who's in the same level as you, or maybe you might be a little bit better than them or vice versa, the two of you Skyping each other, you know, it can't hurt, you know. So I think it's worth looking into. So if there's people out there who are looking to buddy up with each other, get chatting to people on the Facebook group or on the Discord, you know, and connect is what I'm saying. And then you could turn out just like me and Petter. We hold hands when he comes to Ireland, by the way. And we like windy walks.
Yeah, definitely. But just a word of advice there. If you want to team up with somebody, just be very cautious about being influenced by each other's biases, especially if you're trading if you're not trading similar strategies. That's just a big no-no.
Yeah, that's the thing, actually. The psychology part is very important. Simply, the great thing with Petter and I, where we both did the exact same course at the exact same time. And so we kind of just grilled each other on those details every day. You know, we traded off that particular style. So it was easy. But if you have one person who's coming from one background and another from another, it just could get messy. But just bear that in mind.
Yeah, definitely. I was like, last week I was talking to two guys who approached me in regards to trading, and they're teaming up now with the same course, and they're learning together, and they're probably going to fail together, but they're also going to push each other further and further and further. So if one is lagging behind, the other one is going to say, like, fucking catch up, dude, you're lagging behind. Mm. And that's something that that came to me pretty late in the trading experience. I know Philip said we teamed up and stuff like that, but I was very, very cautious of talking to Phil about my results or what kind of trades I was taking. So I was very closed off when it came to that point. But in later times, I've learned that just open up and let people or your trading buddy have a bit of insight in what the hell you're doing. Mm-hmm. That will just keep you on guard and will keep you what's the word I'm looking for? Not responsible, but it will certainly man you up for the game.
Yeah, true. One other thing I wanted to touch on, and I said it recently at the very start of the podcast when I was going over some of the news that was coming out, especially on Tuesday and Wednesday, pretty much all based around Australia and why Australia really interests me right now. And ways that I'm looking to play the Australian market, things that I'm watching, of course. So everybody knows, you know, the Australian housing market is crazy and it's way overvalued. And people are, you know, paying ridiculous money for houses. And I don't know, like I might be wrong in this, but it's definitely over 25 years. I think it's 25 years they haven't had a recession. So there's an entire young generation of people who've never, ever experienced a recession in Australia. And I know the 2008 financial crisis they called it a global financial crisis, but Australia didn't really experience it. And there's a lot of reasons for that, especially the Australian housing market, which at the time was still in 2008, so ridiculously overvalued. But in the 2008 financial crisis, the Australian government noticed this, or Australian central banks, they noticed this, and they knew straight away, we cannot afford to have a housing crisis. So what they did was, they gave, I think it was like 6,000 Aussie dollars, they gave people $6,000 towards their deposit for all houses. So, and they did that to try and buoy up the Aussie market to try and stimulate growth. So basically, before there was no little pat in the back or a little bit of money here to get started. So they already have, by the way, if you have a kid in Australia, you already get a check. I can't remember how many thousands they give you for every kid you have anyway. Like, not to mention the monthly payments, things like children's allowance and things like that. But they give you a check, like, well done, pat in the back, you just had a kid. And then on top of that, in 2008, when the financial crisis happened and the world housing market started taking a beating, the Aussies were like, we can't have this, because they understood how fundamental and how fundamentally the housing market and how important it was to the economy. So everyone else gets a little bit of a deposit. So there's that one little thing, okay? It took a little dip. As soon as it took the dip, the money was given, housing market recovered. And now it's worth so much more than it was even back then. It's just gone crazy. But things have gotten a little bit interesting. And when you look for a trade, you always, especially with fundamentals, you're always trying to find the catalyst. So you may have an idea about what is going to be, what's that saying? The horse that broke the camel's back. Is that the one?
Just, you're asking me?
I think that's the saying. You're looking for a catalyst, basically, that what could break it. And one came. And that's when things got really, really interesting. And that was, I wrote it down earlier on because it's quite a mouthful. And it's called the Royal Commission into Misconduct in the Banking, Superannuation and Financial Services Industry. This commission was set up basically to look into the goings-on of the financial sector in Australia. Now, before, they could basically look into what the banks immediately cut off lines of credit. So they stopped giving loans out to people. And now this, by the way, this banking commission, by the way, when they looked into banking, they found the exact same thing that was going on in America. So I don't know if anyone has ever seen the movie The Big Short. Is it The Big Short? Yeah, The Big Short. But when you see like people putting like loans, ninja loans, like no income, no job application. That's the ninja loans. All right. This was going on in Australia. People with no income were getting these ridiculous loans on easy lines of credit. So all they were doing is they were borrowing, renting the properties out. The properties were paying the mortgage and they were flipping the houses for a bit of profit. They were going again and again and again and again. This was all, people thought that this was like what happened in America. That couldn't possibly happen anywhere else. But nobody ever took a look at Australia properly before, you know, until now. They've now found that the banks are being given out money willy-nilly with people who should never have been given money. And now all of a sudden, they're not giving money out anymore. So, or they're not that they're not giving any money, they've just cut lines of credit back massively. And that's not good for a bank, because that's what they have to do, is loan out money to make money. Now, the reason why it's going to be a tough trade to invest in is simply because the big four banks in Australia pay huge dividends. So everyone wants to own a piece of these dividends. So there's the second catalyst. So the first one was this commission being set up. Second catalyst is the dividend. And the dividend is massive. And it's not that it's massive. Like, they pay a great dividend. So you could just own the stock and live off and like get a lovely yield off the dividend every if it's quarterly or semi-annually. But if these banks are going to stop loaning out credit, over some time, these dividends have to take a haircut. And when they do, it's not as interesting owning these stocks anymore, or any pension funds. They're probably not going to want to own these stocks, not only because they're heavily exposed to the housing market, these banks, and second of all, their dividend that was worth owning, all of a sudden it's not really worth owning anymore. So what do you do when you've been holding something for quite a considerable amount of time? You cash out. So that will have a very, very negative effect on the Australian economy. So my play is, so where do you, I know, I'm sorry if I'm ranting on here. I'm not trying to rant. I'm just trying to, I know I'm talking for a lot, but I'm trying to just give you guys the idea. If you need money and you're a company, you try to go to the debt market to raise capital by issuing bonds and things like that. But the sovereign bonds do the same thing. The country looks to raise capital when they need money. So the bond market increases because the yield is rising on the bonds. And sorry, the yield rises and the bonds continue to fall. So in my opinion, buying Aussie bonds is probably a really good idea. I won't say any levels or anything. You can chart them on TradingView. I'll put them up on the Facebook group if people really want to see them. Yeah, but you can chart Aussie bonds on TradingView. And also shorting Aussie banks, big Aussie banks, the big four. Also, I'll put them up on the actual TradingView as well. But these are things that I think are going to be coming into play. So, like, obviously, keeping a close eye on the yield on, the dividend yields on any of these four banks. If you see a cut in these dividend yields, things could get really, really ugly in Australia very, very quickly. So I think the one governor, Philip Lowe, when he speaks on Wednesday at 1:30 in the morning, I think that's going to be a really important speech, because I think people are going to ask questions about the housing sector in Australia. and possibly about this commission. You might find out a little bit about what's going on. So there's my 2 cents worth in Australia. What do you think of that, P-Man?
Damn, Phil, you should be some sort of narrator or something.
Thank you.
Yeah, you put me to fucking sleep.
Go fuck yourself.
Listen up. I just want to say that was amazing, and I really enjoyed Philip's little breakdown of Australia there. And for anybody out there who's listening and really enjoy fundamentals and stuff like that, like Philip just gave you a textbook example of how you should break down something that you wanted to buy or sell, or if you have an idea, or if something is tickling your fancy. Yeah. Tickling you?
Yeah.
Yeah. Like this is amazing stuff. And if you don't have an idea, just use Philip's idea as a proxy. And that was great, Phil. Thank you very much.
Just focus on what's going on. Like the idea is Aussie housing sector is way overvalued. When is this gonna fall? So everybody knows the Aussie market's overvalued. Everybody knows the Canadian housing market's way overvalued. So you're just trying to, you know this. So you just go, well, what could cause it to collapse? That's when you start speculating and are having ideas.
And that's, I remember from previous when we were doing more of the fundamentals, this is the part that is actually very, very interesting. Like you're like flying around there like some secret agent guy trying to find clues everywhere, you know? And after a while, if you're lucky, you'll hit the jackpot. And it's just amazing to see how the trade unfolds, and you know why.
Did you see Heather? Did you see the video Brent Johnson put up about Elon Musk and Tesla? The video of him flying everywhere in the world. Did you see that video?
No, I can't say.
Oh my god, that's incredible! I'll try find it for you, but I'll give people the gist of it. They were talking about some guy. People who do their fundamental analysis, and Brent was like, if you think you do your analysis, this guy goes in deeper than anyone else. No matter what you know or what you say, nobody does analysis like this guy. This guy tracked Elon Musk's flights. So basically where he's been flying to, how much air miles he's been putting up. And so like if he's been talking about, you know, I'm trying to save the environment, you know, doing my bit for the environment, all the sort of stuff, global warming is a hazard, all the sort of shit. Not that it's shit, sorry, but you know what I mean. And so he said, right, let's see how often Elon's been using his private jet, which is the most, I think private jets are worse than commercial jets for damage to the ozone layer and the atmosphere. And my God, this guy did a video of he had a picture of the globe. And if you saw how much Elon Musk uses a private jet, like it's sickening. It must be, he must be spending hundreds of millions, like a year, just hundreds of millions a year just on flights. It's ridiculous. I'll send you the video after this. But actually, if I find it, I'm going to put it up in the group as well, because I think it's really interesting to see. These are people who really go into detail on their analysis, like they're crazy.
Well, just when it comes to Elon Musk, I know Elon got flared on Twitter a while ago about something similar to what you're talking about. But you also have to take into consideration the contribution that Elon is doing for the world.
Oh, look, I don't think he's a bad guy or anything like that. I think his heart's in the right place, obviously. The guy's a genius, isn't it? You know?
Dude, like we need more guys like Elon. Like we need guys like who wants to put people on Mars, you know, because we need fucking evolution, yeah. You know? Like these powers that we don't know who are have been holding back our society for so many hundreds of years. So we're probably like at least 100 years behind on technology right now. So we need people like that who can actually push technology up and
yeah.
I like Elon.
I think the difference, I remember watching something with Neil deGrasse Tyson. He was talking about the difference between people now and people, you know, like why was the early 19th, like all the way up to early 19th century, early 20th century, we'll say, why were there was a lot of these geniuses just popping up out of nowhere. Like there was one guy actually out of India who taught himself calculus out of a textbook. Like he never went to school, never went did anything. He just found a calculus book from a young age, decided he wanted to read it and teach himself how the mathematics worked. And he became a genius, and he ended up solving so many huge mathematical problems. He was like, he was taken to like Princeton in the United States and all. Like, this was a person who, it's Calcutta he grew up in a little shanty town. But this guy turned out to be one of the, you know, most important people in mathematics and history. There are people out there like that. But the problem nowadays is that people back then looked up at the stars and wondered why the stars and the skies were the way they are and all this. But nowadays, people are just looking down on their phones. You know, we don't have many of these Elon Musk's. Elon Musk's dream, if anyone's ever read this book, I have. It's an excellent book. And, you know, he talks about, from a small boy, he wanted to send rockets into the space. He wanted to be a rocket scientist. You know, look at now, he owns SpaceX.
Yeah, look at Elon. Look at Elon, and let Elon inspire all of you to look further and chase after your dreams and stars and moons and planets and whatever you
fancy. He's on the podcast next week as well, by the way. Imagine.
Cool. Well, I guess that wraps things up. I know we went a bit off the cuff here. I hope people can apologize, or people can
apologize to us. I hope people can apologize.
That's the Norwegian way. Well, yeah. Well, I hope everybody enjoyed your shit, though.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that's what I'm trying to say.
And look, yeah, I'm going to wrap up as well. And I just want to say people should ask questions, give us ideas and stuff that we want to talk, that you want answered, or if there's anything that interests you, any particular market that you think is interesting, like a lot going on in the gold market at the moment. If you want to talk about anything, give us a shout, send us a message on any of the pages, and we'll respond to that. Is that okay? Okay. Cool. Say your goodbyes, P-Man.
Thank you, everybody, and have a good night.
Ditto. Good night, everyone. Bye-bye.